How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
All right, the free agency train rolls on, and so does the Locked On Celtics train with the Rain and Jays. I'm John Corrales, Jay King with me as always, talking today about Dwight Howard, little more Kevin Durant, and even some Celtics in-house free agency stuff. I'm going to share a little radio hit I did with the radio station up in Maine. But Jay, Dwight Howard, all of a sudden, Dwight Howard gets thrown into this crazy whirlwind free agency that is already crazy and hasn't even begun yet.
Yeah, and it's funny because Dwight Howard is still really good at basketball, but it's like, I don't know if anyone wants Dwight Howard on their team for the contract he's going to get. He's had back issues. He's had knee issues. He's had chemistry issues for every team he's been on. I mean, he was just on Inside the NBA a month or two ago talking about why people don't like him. So I don't think the Celtics are too serious about going after Dwight Howard. If they do end up signing him, I feel like it'll just be because it was a bargain deal and it made sense at the price tag he wanted or he could get. So I don't think he's one of their top targets. I think they would prefer Al Horford because he's more of a team guy. He's more healthy. And I think Horford makes more sense. I think guys would want to play more with Horford than a guy like Dwight Howard. As good as Dwight Howard has been in his career, he's a little bit on the downside. And again, he hasn't been the easiest guy to play with.
That Inside the NBA stint was very surreal. It really felt like it became grandpa's lecturing the young upstart on how to handle his business, which was necessary, first of all, which says something about Dwight Howard. And, of course, Celtics fans know Dwight to be the subject of KG's paint-your-face clown. That was that forever, I think forever. When KG turns to you and says, paint-your-face clown, that's not going to ingratiate you with the Celtics faithful. And it's not a big surprise that the Dwight Howard rumors were met with a resounding no. Slow motion, people diving in front of the rumor before it could actually hit the Celtics and stick. Like that type of thing. People do not want Dwight. And actually, to the point where some of the more rational people on Twitter today were defending him, and people that wouldn't normally defend him, but they were like saying, like you said, he's still pretty good at basketball, which he is. That is not a lie. He would be our best center. That is not a lie. He is an upgrade at center from anything that we've had for a while. But I agree. And I shared my thoughts on Dwight Howard with the folks at the Big Jab 96.3 FM in Portland, Maine. Javier Garrity, Russ Thompson. Let's take a listen to how that went.
Welcome back. PM Jab, Javier Garrity, Russ Thompson rolling through a Wednesday afternoon. Joining us on the line now from RedsArmy.com. Also from Locked On Celtics at RedsArmy underscore John on Twitter. He is John Corrales. Talk a little C's basketball. How you doing, bud?
Doing great, man. How you guys doing?
Good.
We are good, my friend. We are good. Obviously, we enter into the all-important free agency period. I know Celtics fans are very, I guess they're in anticipation mode, right? They've been promised fireworks here, and I think they're getting pretty antsy. A lot of sort of, you know, disappointment with the draft. I think unmerited, but disappointment with the draft. And now we enter this free agency period. I think the only thing that could piss off Celtics fans more than what they've had to endure so far in the offseason is bringing in Dwight Howard. Do you think that's legit at all? I mean, do you think the Celtics are really kicking the tires on this guy? I mean, this is a guy that's really ripped apart three other organizations. It hasn't gone well really anywhere. And when you see what the Celtics are building and the kind of team first mentality that they have, this seems to me like the one guy in the world they shouldn't bring in. Do you think this is a real thing, or are they just kicking the tires on him?
I think we're going to go with kicking the tires on this. Look, Danny Ainge is notorious for saying he'll do everything he takes. He'll look at everything. He'll figure out what the situations are. Every trade, every free agent, blah, blah, blah. So here is Dwight Howard, a guy that they've probably never had the opportunity to really talk to in past years as a free agent. So why not line up and see what he's got to say, to see if his attitude privately in these meetings matches up with the reputation, and then see what he's asking for. I don't think that they're looking at him as a cornerstone piece to the future, but you never know. Maybe they will determine that he's misunderstood and that he'll play in Boston for less money than people think. Or whatever. I highly doubt that. I think Ainge is just going to see and talk and kind of figure out where he fits in the plans, if he fits in the plans.
John, and then the other huge thing that is going to happen here is Kevin Durant and his free agency, and he's going to take all kinds of pitches from all these teams, and we know that time is of the essence. So what do you think the Celtics pitch is to Kevin Durant? Can you summarize it?
Wait, Kevin Durant's a free agent? Why haven't I heard anything about this? The pitch to Durant, I think, needs to focus on basketball. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of avenues here. You look at what Oklahoma City has not been able to do, and you kind of highlight how you can do those things. So in his time in OKC, they've had trouble finding a creative enough offense for him. So you put Brad Stevens in there and explain, these are the offensive things we can do with you, just adding you to our team, and Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder and all of the other guys that we have on the team, how you could play off of those guys and kind of wow him with the basketball side. And then I think another big thing is the ownership side, where Clay Bennett, who moved the team from Seattle to Oklahoma City, is notoriously cheap. He's the main reason why James Harden had to be moved when he was. That's not something that the team decided, we're done with him. They were just never going to pay him. So you bring in Wick and the ownership group and you say, these are the things we're willing to do. Look at how much we've spent in our attempts to make our team better. So when we see something, we go for it. We deal with it. We're willing to pay the tax. So those two things are really the biggest things. And then obviously Danny Ainge's part is, here's my plan for the offseason. If you come to Boston, these are the guys that we're lining up to play with you. And now the Boston Celtics with Kevin Durant and his upgraded roster can now become the main challengers to Cleveland. And there's your easier to the finals than having to go through the Clippers and San Antonio and Golden State and those guys in the West.
Well, and John, when you talk about that, you know, Al Horford's a guy that's been talked about quite a bit for a few years now, maybe coming to Boston, either via trade or now through free agency. You know, I like that fit quite a bit, actually, and I wonder if you think that that's going to happen. Is that the kind of player you think would entice Durant to come? I mean, is he enough of a guy? And conversely, we're just talking about Dwight Howard. Don't you run the risk, like if you do bring in a Dwight Howard or you're even talking to him, that could turn off someone like KD that could possibly be looking here in Boston?
Sure. I mean, there's always the possibility that any serious pursuit of Dwight Howard and guys within the league talk to one another. And I'm sure James Harden, yeah, he was sent away from Oklahoma City, friend of Kevin Durant. So Durant is probably getting pretty one-sided negative view of what Dwight Howard really is. And so we'll see how that might impact anything. But who knows? I mean, Danny Ainge isn't going to let one player dictate every one of his moves. Al Horford could be a good signing. The guy's pretty, and everybody's worried about a long-term deal. A four-year deal for him, the way he's playing now, he's extending his range. He's not going to be taking as much of a beating. I think his game ages better than maybe Dwight Howard's, who is already issues, just pounding and pounding and pounding, he's going to deteriorate faster. I think Al Horford's move to more of a stretch four is going to allow him to play a style of basketball that maybe extends his career a little bit. So I like that. And then you have to look at fit. If you can pitch Durant on Horford's out there at a stretch four, you're the three. We've got Isaiah Thomas now with all that space, attacking the basket. Now you start to be able to put a plan together, an offense together. You can show him this is how we're planning to use you effectively and use everybody else effectively, so it's not all on you. You're just the guy who's going to close the game for us.
John, let's just say that the likeliest outcome happens and that Kevin Durant goes back to Oklahoma City. Are there any players out there that are in that kind of plan B mode for the Celtics that you think could potentially be targeting?
This season, I think the biggest are going to come again if he signs that 1+1 deal. Mm-hmm. And LeBron, depending on what he does, he's probably going to sign another 1+1 deal. But Blake Griffin's a free agent next year. So next year, the superstars are really going to be out there. So I think Ainge's plan has to be right now to upgrade the talent that he has on the roster where he can, still maintain some of that cap flexibility, not spend all of his money. But keep in mind that there's going to be another huge bump in the salary cap next season.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a chance for him to save enough money this year, upgrade talent, give money to Al Horford and whomever else, and then next year get another one or even two max slots, depending on how he plays the roster. So a lot of options here for Danny Ainge. I really think that if Durant doesn't come through this year, he really needs to take that roster, build it up to a point where he can say to a superstar, look how much better we got without you. You're the guy. You're that missing piece. Right now, there's no one missing piece. They have a lot of missing pieces. So if they can build it up a little bit and get to that one missing piece, it might be easier to attract that superstar in 17 rather than 16.
Yeah, John, and we've talked about that actually quite a bit on our show and made that point repeatedly because, again, to me, if you don't get – look, I'd love to see them sign a Horford, but beyond that, if you don't get Kevin Durant, I don't think there's a lot of other guys I would want to spend that kind of money on in addition to Horford or instead of Horford, maybe get a Whiteside or something. But I would go with, that one guy, and if you don't get Kevin Durant, you sort of leave that open until next year because of what you said. I mean, most of the league stars are going to be – in free agency next year. So do you think that that's the plan there with Boston? I mean, do you think that that's the way Ainge looks at it, that I'm going to go out and get one of these sort of interior guys that we need, maybe a couple other pieces, but I'm leaving that door open. If I don't get Durant this year, I'm leaving that door open for it next season as we, a slower build than maybe some Celtics fans want to see.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's how it goes. Maybe you pull the trade to do some things that way, and you can upgrade talents in a trade where you're not spending more money, you're just shifting people around. So that might be a way that he goes, but I just don't see anybody else out there. If it's direct, then there's no one else that rises up to that level. I mean, unless for some ungodly reason LeBron has a change of heart,
right,
and doesn't re-sign with Cleveland, which would be one of the most shocking things ever. But look, the number one targets for other teams are shifting to the Ryan Andersons of the world, who's great. He's one of the best stretch fours in the league when he's healthy. Problem is, he's not always healthy. And, look, does Ryan Anderson move the needle for anybody? And he's going to demand max. And we've got a lot of money to spend. But these guys, while upgrades, and I would love to have somebody like that in Boston, but it's just cost and efficiency and locking somebody up for the future and yourself or painting yourself into a corner. You want to make sure that you are doing the things to upgrade the talent level to a point where it's acceptable and the team gets better and it's more attractive for that big star without screwing it up and running out of money. So if not KD this year, then it'll be the big chase and the big push next year to get that done. One thing I want to just kind of throw out there, if KD does leave and he doesn't go to Boston, don't discount the midseason Russell Westbrook trade, because I don't think Sam Presti is going to let his two superstars walk for nothing. Mm-hmm. If he sees KD walk out that door,
Westbrook's
I
just
think
behind
it's
him, yeah.
Strong possibility that Westbrook trade goes into, you know, full rebuild mode, and the Celtics still have a bunch of assets that you could flip. That's where you flip Isaiah Thomas and the two Nets picks, and you upgrade to Russell Westbrook without really screwing up your financial situation. Then next year, you've already got Westbrook, you bring in another superstar, and then you really got something. So that's just alternate going on there.
John, with the amount of money that's going to be thrown out here in free agency, there's going to be a lot of guys that in other years probably wouldn't deserve a max contract that are going to get it. And I'll just throw a couple names out to you. Nick Batum and Chandler Parsons. Would you be okay with the Celtics giving those guys max contracts?
You know, in a vacuum, I mean, I can see those guys. I can see the case for those guys getting max deals. Mm-hmm. Batum, I think, before Parsons, just because of the knee issues.
Right.
But I don't, you know, it depends on what, if everything else falls through, then maybe bringing Batum in might not be the worst idea. But again, we go back to the point of spending all that money on guys who don't really move the needle. And that would be an upgrade. How much of an upgrade? Both of them have kind of health issues. Both can be really, really good, but those are huge risks. I just don't see Danny Ainge making those kinds of moves. You know, I'm kind of on the fence. If you get Horford for some reason, then no, definitely no on the other guys. Mm-hmm. Horford's a guy that, you know, stars would want to play with. He's got that all-star pedigree. Batum, nice player. Parsons, nice player. They just don't have that same cachet. I don't think those are the guys, if you see a roster with those guys on there, that Durant would sit there as well. Now I have to go there to play, or whomever. I don't see Ainge making that big of an investment for those kinds of players.
John, let's assume for a second the Celtics get Horford and that's it, right? That's the one big signing in free agency. How much better does that make the season? Do you think that, you know, elevates them from a 48-win team into like maybe the mid-50s, and then next year where that huge crop of free agents is available, that is enough to entice someone to come here?
I think that's a huge move. I mean, Al Horford's still a really good player, and he's been around for a while. He's got that experience. He's got a ton of playoff experience, and he fits into a nice little spot for the Celtics. You could put him in there at the four, or at the five in some scenarios, and just let him kind of operate. You can actually just give him the ball and let him go. And knowing how Brad Stevens can get guys into great spots to score, I think Horford would be a great option. He'd be a legit second option on this team, and he would play well with Isaiah Thomas. You can run pick and roll, pick and pop with those guys, really get creative on some offense. He's a good passer, so you can run some things through him that you couldn't run. You could run a lot of, I don't get too technical, but you can run a lot of high post type of offense and get it into Horford and let him kind of operate. And I think that would be a huge improvement for their offense. He would fit in nice defensively. I think he'd be a pretty good player. And then, yeah, next summer you'd see that, look, this is a team that's improved. You have a definite, a much more attractive situation without him. Than without him.
John, as of now, it doesn't look like the Celtics have a center on their roster. How much of a priority is that in this whole chaos that is free agency?
Well, I just think that they just want good players. And, yeah, you want some size, and maybe that's what they drafted Ante Zizic for, to get in there and be the guy with some size. But we've seen teams without strong big men kind of do well. The league isn't necessarily dependent on big strong guys, big guys who are patrolling the paint. We look Howard, Hassan Whiteside, these big guys aren't necessarily DeAndre Jordan. They're not carrying through the playoffs either. So it's a different style. If you get a guy with that size that can do the things that the Celtics want, great. If not, I think they can figure out something else.
Well, bottom line, if you had it your way to take KD out of it, what do you want to see happen here? Obviously, we all want Kevin Durant. Are you a Horford guy? Would you like to see Whiteside? What's your guy? Who's your guy?
I'm not Whiteside. I am not Whiteside. I think he's overrated. I think he's going to get paid a lot of money. I think he blocks a lot of shots, but he huddles blocks. I don't think he's very good on the pick and roll defense. He's just kind of a liability. I'm afraid of what he'll become getting max money.
Fair enough. From the Locked On Celtics podcast, also from RedsArmy.com. You can find him on Twitter at RedsArmy_John. He is John Corrales. John, always appreciate your time, my friend. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, John.
Take care, bud.
Okay, so that was more of an all-encompassing thing. We started with Dwight. We got into Al Horford. Some of the stuff that we're talking to set this thing up. So let's just kind of continue this. I also don't believe that Dwight is a realistic target. Let's be real here. He opted out of, what, $20-something million? He's not going to come to the Celtics to play for a reasonable $15 million. So that's not going to happen. He's not going to sign a 1+1 deal, not with Boston. So realistically, I don't think Dwight is any more than what I said to these guys up in Maine, that Ainge is just kind of doing his due diligence. But it's an interesting question that they asked about how that impacts Kevin Durant, who is everybody's free agent target. What do you think that James Harden has been putting into Kevin Durant's mind over the past few years about playing with Dwight Howard?
I'm sure it was all good stuff. James Harden and Dwight Howard, they just loved each other. You could tell by the way they played with each other. They just really, really appreciated each other so much. First of all, I'm sure James Harden doesn't have too many nice things to say about Dwight Howard. I'm sure Kobe Bryant before him doesn't have too many nice things to say about Dwight Howard. And Kevin Durant, this past free agent or this past playoffs, or maybe it was during the regular season, there was a tweet from somebody saying that he was calling Dwight Howard the P word during the middle of a game, and not punk. It wasn't punk. It was a different P word. I'll let you use your imagination there. But yeah, Dwight Howard.
Is it a song that was once a part of an OPP song? Is it a P word that was part of an OPP song?
It was a bad P word. Yes. I can't imagine Dwight Howard has too many guys out there who really, really want to play with him anymore. Obviously, there was one point in time when he was one of the top three or five players on Earth, when he brought a pretty mediocre Magic team to the finals. That time's gone, and you only get Dwight Howard now, I think, if you get the right contract. And again, the Celtics, you know, they reportedly have a meeting with Howard. That's fine. They can look into it, but I would be really surprised if they signed him to a long-term deal and made him one of the cornerstones moving forward. He just doesn't fit their timeline. They're going after younger guys, or they're going after Al Horford because they think he can get Kevin Durant. And I think those are the options for them, really, the most pressing options. And the Howard thing, it was surprising that they even had a meeting with him, but I doubt much more will come from that.
Yeah, and this is really the heart of the free agency discussion. And this is like Justin asked on Twitter at @AustCelticsFan. If you guys want to follow him, he's a great, lot of great Celtics fans in Australia. And I know every once in a while I say a lot of great Celtics fans around the world. And I just love the international flavor, but Justin captures the heart of this free agency discussion. Can you see KD signing with the Celtics without us signing a complimentary free agent first, and who will we go after? So the who seems to be, I think we're in agreement, that it's Horford. And Dwight is not the right complimentary free agent. I don't think that works. You need, for the Celtics especially, we're talking about fit here. And we're talking about getting these guys in that are versatile, that can do more than one thing, and that can spread the floor. So having Dwight around doesn't really help Isaiah Thomas in his quest to get to the rim.
And I don't know, though. The Celtics have been missing a pick-and-roll threat. I will say that. Dwight Howard would come in, and he would bring so much more attention in the pick-and-rolls. He would catch so many more lobs than the Celtics have caught. He would block more shots. He would alter more shots. There are a lot of things he still does really well. He was 7th overall in the NBA in the rebound rate last year. That's monster. But, again, he's starting to slow down, and with his physical questions, with his mental questions, and the way he fits with the team, I just don't think he's worth that type of risk unless you can get him, again, on a cheap, reasonable deal.
Well, the cheap, reasonable deal only happens if the entire market collapses for him. But I would rather see the pick and roll being run with Al Horford, because then that could become a pick and pop. That could become other things. He's a better passer. And yeah, Dwight obviously can protect the rim, but the Celtics did pretty well defensively without that traditional rim protector, and they can figure out other ways to get that done. I just think, and I don't think this is really an argument between us, I think that Horford is the guy. He is the guy that you can get this year. And the point that I was making to the guys in Maine, you can get Horford this year, and if he's the only guy you get this year, that's okay, because you have two other things that could happen. Durant could do the 1+1 and make his decision next summer. You run it back one more time with Westbrook, and if Westbrook ultimately decides to go back to Los Angeles or wherever, then things kind of open up. Or Durant chooses somebody else. And I'm really starting to think that if Durant chooses somebody else, then Westbrook will be available in a trade this season, because I don't think Sam Presti is going to let two superstars walk away with no compensation whatsoever. So maybe the Celtics can turn around and get their superstar midseason and pair him with Horford.
Ooh, pair Russell Westbrook. Horford. Now we're like two steps ahead here on the Rainy Jays. Everyone else is focusing on Kevin Durant, and we're like, nah, man. We're thinking about Russell Westbrook. We're two levels above.
This is what we do. We redrafted the draft before it happened, and I've already moved on to the trade deadline show. That's how we do it. Everybody's here. Everybody's zigging, and we're zagging.
Yeah, he's already got Russell Westbrook on the market. I love it. I love it, John.
But seriously, don't you see that happen? If for some reason Durant chooses, let's say, San Antonio or Golden State or something like that, don't you see the Thunder saying, well, time to hit the reset button now, because they're not going to win it. They're not going to get any further with that team just minus Durant. So why suffer through that season? Why not just put Westbrook on the block immediately and start going to the teams that have the picks, like the Celtics, where you say, here's your guy. You now have his bird rights. You have the right to re-sign him to that five-year deal. You now have the advantage. And all it's going to take is all of these other picks that you have and whatever other players. And so that's just something looking a little bit forward, I think, is possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's not completely out of the question, maybe, but it would be hard to pass on a guy like Russell Westbrook. Hardly ever do teams give up someone, even in his final year before free agency. The guys I can think of are like Carmelo Anthony, and they got a massive haul. Darren Williams, but that was like 2 years before his free agency, wasn't it? And who else? I mean, there are very few, even stars, even, that get traded before their free agency. Because if you have a guy like that, you try to keep him. And I think, you know, with Steven Adams, with Victor Oladipo, with who else do they have on that roster? I guess Enes Kanter. Not too much else, I guess, honestly, if Durant leaves. But they'd probably still hope that they could keep Russell Westbrook and see what happens. I don't know. That's tough for me to wrap my head around. But who knows? You know, Presti has been a forward-looking guy before. So maybe. We're dreaming about Russell Westbrook here. It's the Russell Westbrook dream starts here.
Well, it's the superstar dream is what we have. And we're looking for that guy to take us to the next level. And who knows? I'm just trying to think of all of the possible scenarios. If this chess piece moves, what's the move after that? If Durant goes back to OKC, what's the contract that he's on? Does he make a long-term commitment? Does he just say, I'm not going through this next year, and makes a five-year commitment? And then what? Then what? Because that could keep Russell Westbrook there. They could just run it back, and they could just keep going with it. So, but I really do think that the first step is going to be Al Horford. I'm starting to think that he's the priority because the timetable is now kind of getting out there for Durant, where he's going to be talking to the Thunder kind of sneakily on Thursday before Friday, because knowing that they can't talk numbers, they can't talk offers, they can talk about the team, they can talk about direction, and that's basically the entire pitch. There is no financial pitch with them. He knows what they're going to offer. There's no surprise there. So they're going to kind of get in early. And then other teams are going to start to get in line and go out to the Hamptons, I guess. They're going to go out to the – I've never heard of the free agent meetings being done in the Hamptons. I don't know. That just kind of seems a little odd to me. It's like a little vacation. And
I love that move.
It's a very much a, no, you come to me, please.
Yeah.
Follow me around.
Let's go to the beach, guys. Like, come to the Hamptons, take me out to dinner, and then I'll go hit the beach. That sounds like one heck of a free agency week to me.
Do you rent, like, jet skis? You say, hey, come on, KD, let's go jet ski a little bit. Kind of butter them up, have some fun. Beach volleyball.
Brad Stevens like spikes it down his throat in beach volleyball.
I highly doubt that's possible. Even in our wildest dream scenarios, I don't think so.
It's like Meet the Fockers, man. You remember that when the guy just spikes the ball and hits someone in the face?
That would just be our luck. That everything's going great, and then somebody's competitive nature gets too crazy. And they spike the ball, and it breaks KD's nose, and that's it. He was like, I was going to sign with you, then you broke my nose.
Or like they bring Jay Crowder for some reason, and Crowder gets real competitive. And ends up brawling with Kevin Durant.
Just a big fight. Big fight. Oh, boy. Okay. Well, we've come up with some really weird scenarios in 2 days about what KD's recruitment might be like. So I think that is a sign for us to wrap this up and maybe get some sleep.
A few other things, though.
Business.
I mean, minor stuff.
Sure, yeah. Almost forgot.
Jared Sullinger and Tyler Zeller are going to have their qualifying offers extended. Not a big surprise. Kind of what everyone expected. The qualifying offers are really small compared to what they'll likely get. And the Celtics could always denounce those rights at a later time. So it's not binding. If they need that money, if they need to move on from those guys, they draw the offer. Yeah, really expected. And then other thing, Jaylen Brown dunked on a child's head today.
Did you see that video? That was hysterical. This kid, first of all, that kid was talking. I don't know. If you haven't seen the video, we'll post it. That kid was talking some trash. He was like, can't shoot. Down in his position, hands out, trying to prevent the drive, and telling him, you can't shoot.
Apparently, he told him that Ben Simmons is better as well, and that's what really set Brown off. And then Brown just, first of all, I mean, he spun him around it. He really humiliated this poor kid. Like he did not let him off the hook at all. Spun him around and then went to the cup and dunked real nonchalantly on top of his head.
Yeah, well, look, in some circles you might be able to say the kid deserved it, but I'm going to give the kid some props for talking that trash, for getting down there and challenging him. Doesn't matter who he is, Doesn't matter that you're the Celtics' number one pick, the third pick overall. Show it to me. Bring a kid. You can't shoot.
Yeah, that kid can play for my team any day.
I love it.
He's got the attitude you need. Yeah, I feel like he would have gone out there and talked the same trash on the next play. He just never say die attitude from that kid. Always thinks he's gonna get that stop.
I'm in on that kid. That kid's gonna be the 2032 Celtics number one draft pick. Did I do that math right?
Only if he can't shoot, though. Celtics only draft player.
Only if he turns into a 6'9 tweener who can't shoot.
There you go. Gotta have.
But serious athleticism, though.
Yeah. Fierce athleticism, great physical tools, no jump shot.
Hey, guys, if you are listening to us on iTunes, please give us a rating. If you're not, if you want to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you subscribe to podcasts, that'd be great. Because we post them, and you'd kind of get first crack at some of these shows. We post them on Red's Army. They'll show up on Mass Live. But when we publish them, those things go out on the feed, and you'll get them first. So subscribe, rate us, 5-star ratings. Give us a review. Be honest. Tell me how much of a moron I am. My hot takes are right here. I'm spitting hot fire every day.
You're just holding me back, John. You're holding me back.
I'm here to hold Jay back on a regular basis. Let us know what you think. Give us the ratings. Subscribe. All that stuff. We're going to be back real soon because there's going to be more rumors probably as soon as we stop recording. So we'll see you next time here. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays on the Locked On Podcast Network.